Believe that you can have an amazing second half of life. Unfortunately, I see too often the 50 plus, 60 plus, 70 plus woman going, I'm too old for that now. I can't get up off the floor. It's too late for me. I'm just accepting where I am now. It's too late. No. We have to have a belief and faith in ourselves that our body wants to be healthy. It wants to age well.
Greetings, friends. For our first time listeners, my name is Shelley, your host. Welcome. And if you are a returning listener, thank you. I am really grateful for your support. Before I get into the episode and introduction of our guest today, I want to remind you we have a Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. If you want to look us up, or the link to the group will be in the show notes. There's almost 700 of us, and you don't have to be 50. You could be 50-ish, or almost 50, or whatever. Just come join us. So my guest today, Anne Noonan, is from Australia, and she was so delightful to talk to. She just turned 60 a couple of years ago and has really made this amazing transformation from overweight, sick woman with adrenal failure, on the verge of diabetes, and just a lot of aches and pains and horrendous menopausal symptoms. Totally turned her life around. And I have to tell you, she's absolutely gorgeous. And one of the things she said that really struck me was she knew that her recovery was going to be a transformation, and that transformation became her mission for other women. So I know you're going to get a lot out of this and enjoy this episode as much as I did. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Anne.
Thanks, Shelley. Look, I turned 60. A couple of months ago. You know, as I reflect back, there has really been quite a journey. It's a journey of I had to find my own way, not only recover, but turn the recovery into a transformation and a mission. Back in my 20s, 30s, and early 40s, I was a corporate bunny. I worked in corporate Brisbane, corporate Australia, which is a high-stress area. I think any woman, Australia, America, wherever she comes from, if you're working pretty densely in the corporate area, you're stressed. Life is all about high expectation and stress. I was a single mum of two sons, and I could feel my health just wasn't great, but it was all stress-related symptoms. It was, you know, overweight and tired all the time and not eating well. But while you're busy, you kind of toss that aside. We always put that aside. And we as women, or mothers and career women, we've got this high expectation of ourselves, and we just keep plowing through the best we can. So 1997 came along. I accepted a redundancy from my corporate role and thought, well, I don't want to go back into corporate. I know how stressful that is. So what did I decide to do? We went and purchased a traditional business.
Oh.
And that, you know, traditional business can also be just as stressful. So I found myself owning a fashion line, you know, which was fun. It was wonderful. It was just starting to prove to become successful, but it was costing us an absolute fortune. So the stress levels involved with that too, because it was myself and a business partner. I took on personal styling, makeup artistry, really diving headlong into the fashion industry. But that came with its own issues. It came with its own variety of stress.
I was just going to say, going from a corporate world to owning a business, and that's not stressful. How?
How crazy is that? You know, there's a few years starting to go by, and my body is going, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I was noticing the fatigue never went away, the various issues were horrendous. My menstrual cycle was off the charts. It was out of whack. I was becoming chronically anemic. And a gyno said, this is it. You've got to have a hysterectomy. Even though I was working in the fashion field and personal styling, I was out there helping women look fabulous and do the best they could to be more visible and more employable. And my mission was to help the woman over 40, you know, become more visible in the workplace and not keep smashing her head against the glass ceiling. I found my own health, even though all these women were coming to me, they were showing health issues, stress issues of their own, but mine were worsening as well. So there was a big message from the universe to say, get your act into gear and start looking after yourself. I just had this gut instinct not to go the pharmaceutical route. Pharmaceuticals and doctors, well, they were telling me antidepressants, statin drugs, artificial hormonal replacement therapy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the big pharmaceutical approach. I just knew I didn't want to go that way. So I dealt with the hysterectomy. I kind of had to do that. And symptoms worsened yet again. I fell into this deep menopausal symptomatic mash pit of symptoms, hot flushes that wouldn't go away, adrenal fatigue kicked in, insomnia, sleeplessness, achy bones, the bodily pains. I was looking down the barrel of diabetes type 2. So it was just a mash. And I thought, I've got to start doing something. I've got to start eating differently. I have to start moving differently. And back in the 80s, I was the aerobics queen. I'm sure you'll remember the aerobics.
I loved aerobics. Oh, yeah.
Don't we just love aerobics?
They were fun.
Oh, look, they were the fun era. I think I just joined aerobics for the sake of the fashion you could wear, being a little bit fashion focused. But I came out of those years also with the achy bones and the knee that wasn't working right, the back issues. So I needed to find a movement. Gym memberships just didn't do it for me. Personal trainer wasn't producing the results I needed. Someone said to me, why don't you try yoga? Yoga. Hadn't had much to do with yoga in the past. So what did I do? With this inflamed, overweight, in pain body, I decided I'd walk into, at the over the age of 50 by now, I thought I'd walk into a Bikram yoga studio. As your listeners, I'm sure, would also know, Bikram is mighty hot. What is it? 126 degrees Fahrenheit in a... I thought I was going to die. And I think the instructor had a little bit of pity on me. She said, you've not tried yoga before? Yes. Oh, I'm all for it.
So you went right to a hot yoga? Is that what
right to Bikram. No introduction to normal yoga.
Okay.
I don't know where my brain was. Okay. It was scrambled. So I go straight to Bikram.
And you really had a menopause brain, didn't you?
She said, go and stand behind that lady over there and just follow her moves. You'll be okay. That lady over there was a bodybuilder. So I'm standing behind this magnificently shaped bodybuilder and I've got these full-length mirrors. And even then, before we'd even started, and I'm breathing through the nose thinking, what am I doing? Anyway, I thought I was going to die, but I survived it. Came out of there and there'd been a shift. I don't think I'd lost so much fluid out of my body with the sweat rates, but there was a shift that aerobics didn't do, that gym membership didn't do, that going walking or working with a PT, as in personal trainer, did not do for me. Even though Bikram was incredibly uncomfortable, and I really only did 2 Bikram lessons. I didn't go back to hot yoga after that. I went back to normal yoga. But there was such a shift in my brain clarity, the way my body felt when I came out of there. So I thought, this is something about this. So I went to more normal temperature yoga. I went through a bit of warming in. There was a local yoga studio that had a hot yoga, but not nearly as hot as Bikram, and a few normal type classes. And I literally observed my body change, my general health, my breathing. I was taught how to breathe. I watched the nervous system change, and combined with learning how to eat the right way, getting this mind talking to the body, I noticed some incredible change start to happen. And I thought, if this is doing this for me, for a 50 plus horrendously menopausal woman, if this is changing me like this, I know there's plenty of women out there that it could help. So then, long story short, got my qualifications in food and nutrition coaching, diabetes food advisory, because I was looking down the barrel of diabetes, mm-hmm. and yoga and meditation, water yoga as well. Now I teach water yoga in the water, and a little bit of stretch therapy I combine with my classes. It's not only helped me recover, I know I've gone through a transformation, but that took the best part of 10 years. It took the hysterectomy was 1947. Here it is, 2019. It took over 10 years. So it's not a magic bullet by any means, but that's basically in a nutshell how it all worked.
Well, I have to say, you are absolutely beautiful. So whatever you're doing, seriously, is working. You're just very, you're just, and I'm not just
saying,
I mean, you just radiate, you just glow this health.
Thank you. And that's because you feel well. That's because I feel well. I wasn't glowing 10 or so years ago. I mean, my website will show on my about page. You'll get an idea of where I was coming from.
Well, we're supposed to glow, I think.
Supposed to.
Yeah. I just want to back up for a quick second. So you talked about adrenal fatigue failure. What is that exactly for people who may not know what that is?
In your mid-back, around the middle part of your back, you've got your kidneys. Just on top of the kidneys are your adrenal glands. Your adrenal glands are part of your endocrine system that control hormones and basic hormonal day-to-day function. They're only little, but they have a big function. When you're hormonally completely disrupted, when your progesterone and all your normal day-to-day estrogen, when our hormones are completely out of whack, our adrenal glands are the ones that also get very confused. So a very simple nutshell kind of explanation. So those little adrenal glands for me were completely exhausted. I wasn't, when you're not eating well, when you're not sleeping well, when sleep is also, when there's sleep deprivation and stress, all these outer influences going on in your life, they affect these tiny little adrenal glands. So my adrenal glands were just depleted, which creates what is a condition called adrenal fatigue. And adrenal fatigue means your whole body are out of whack. It's very similar to chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia is one form of fatigue. But when it's the actual adrenal glands, which is your endocrine system, it's a firestorm of really not feeling particularly well. And I was anemic as well.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So the cycle that led up to the hysterectomy, my cycle would, you know, I'm sure so many women relate to having a very, very heavy period. You know, sometimes the period just blends into the next one, then blends into the next one. And it's almost like you've got no days of no bleeding, so to speak. Clotting was just awful. Yes. So the blood I lost was, my gynecologist said, you should not even be standing. You are so anemic, you shouldn't be standing. So all of those aspects affect your adrenal gland and can create a very exhausted.
So another thing too, and I hear, oh my gosh, I hear this from so many women when you were talking about you worked in the fashion and you were helping all these other women to look good and feel their best.
Yeah.
I mean, and we all do it. We all do it. But I just find it so fascinating that we women seem to be really good at that. Like, let me take care of you at the expense of myself. Why do you think we do that? Why do we not put ourselves first in situations?
I think this is years of conditioning. It's years of conditioning. So I represent basically the baby boomer woman. We women born between 1946 and pretty much 1964, I think, are the timelines for the baby boomer woman. Look, and I think it's ancestrally, we have been handed down this, you must nurture. That's, you know, we were teenagers of the, little children of the 50s, teenagers of the 60s and 70s. And that's all we saw, our women, our mothers, our grandmothers. That's all they were ever looked at as being worthy of doing was being a mother, being nurturing. We saw our mothers and grandmothers put everyone else first, other than themselves. They fed their family, they fed their husbands, and it's like they were put themselves last. This is indoctrinated into our psyche. I'm hoping, you know, the newer generations, they're learning to possibly prioritize themselves. But I feel I probably can speak for this generation because I'm one of them. This just seems to be our nature. And the world, that's what the world expects of women to a degree, that we are the carers, we are the nurturers, we care for everyone else first, we put ourselves last. I looked at my condition as, well, it's normal, isn't it? Isn't it normal? That's what women put up with. This is what periods are all about, isn't it? This is what menopausal pain is all about, isn't it? And then I finally had doctors saying, no, you're not supposed to feel like this. You're supposed to feel better. I remember even breastfeeding children, I went through horrendous mastitis. But I didn't even know back then that you go and take an antibiotic for it, or you can treat mastitis. I put the kids on and let them just release it themselves, and I screamed in agony for all the time I was breastfeeding, not realizing, you know. So there's also there's this disconnect of communication and education sometimes to get it through to us. No, girls, you don't have to put up with this. There is a way to feel so much better, and it's so important to put yourself first. So it takes a while to get through to us that, you know, on the aircraft, when the oxygen masks come down, you've got to put it on yourself first so that you're useful to the other ones around you, to a small child or to an elderly person around you. Put the oxygen mask on yourself first. It took me a long time to get that. I've got to put my health first so that I still am of better service to other women, other people, my husband, my family around me. So that takes a while to get.
It does. And I loved all that you had to say. And if listeners don't take anything else from our conversation, is that you are supposed to feel good. You are not supposed to feel bad. That's not our natural state of being.
And put up with it.
And put up
That's
with
true.
It.
You're not supposed to. It's not normal to feel like crap.
Yeah. And I think that once you start feeling so bad for so long, you just think that that's it. That's just all that there is. My daughter's 35. She's one of those lazy, no good millennials you hear about, although she's not lazy and no good. She has a child and she's married. She went off to Germany for 2 weeks and left Cecily at home with Jordy, who's quite capable of taking care of a child. But she went overseas to Germany, and I'm thinking, well, first of all, good for you. But I never would have done that then. I never would have felt that that was something that I deserved or that I could do. So she's of that, you know, I think we're raising a generation of girls now that are in their 30s and 40s that are actually saying, I deserve to feel good. I deserve my time. I can take care of my kids and go off to Germany for a couple of weeks. Yeah. No one's going to die. Nothing bad's going to happen. So I'm really encouraged by some of that they aren't, you know, going to be like us at 60 having this discussion about why can't we take care of ourselves.
I hope we are raising. Yeah, it's nice to know we are raising kids with a little bit of a different expectation. I've got kids in their 30s too, and they just, there's no desire for family to do anything. They want to live their life.
Yeah.
And go travel and have great things. Yeah. We as young kids of the 60s, 70s, 80s didn't dream of doing that.
Let me ask you another question real quick here. You had said that yoga, you sort of just flipped that switch in yoga when you decided to do that exercise. Was that the first time that you were just like, I have to do this. This is something I have to do.
It was so interesting, you know. In the beginning, while my body was, I thought, well, there's no other form of exercise that I can think of that I even want to go and try. I might as well see if I can master this yoga. Class after class. Oh, my God, he's going to get. Oh, it's this instructor. Oh, he's going to kill us today. And I would complain and whinge for a while. And then one day, the pose that I thought was killing me weeks beforehand, I sailed into it and I held it for longer. And I'm even baffled, this isn't as hard as it was last week or the week before. We moved into something else. There were still a few poses that scared the egg out of me. Mm-hmm. But I did it. Then another teacher came along and she said to me, you're just looking so good. Your skin has improved. I'm watching you drop weight. You look so strong. And I'm going, and I started to simply feel better. I think also the breathing training had a lot to do with it because I calmed. My whole body just calmed down. My tension just released.
And I
felt like I could exhale. I think that's probably one of the best descriptions. I had this sense of exhaling and still I was strong, still I was fit. I had a go at, you know, the yoga studio was not that far from home, and I walked, all right, let's see how I go jogging home. And I could kind of get into a little jog and not feel like I was going to park it on the pavement just fall over dying. And I thought, there's something happening here. I'm feeling good, stronger. My muscles are elongated. I'm feeling the body shape up a little bit. Now, someone took a photograph of me, and I thought, I used to just despise seeing photographs. But then I saw a photograph up against one of my old ones from about 5 years earlier when I was really at my worst.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, now I can actually visually see, okay, something's changing.
Well, and you know, it's a process. It takes time. I'm the worst of that. It's like I wanted it yesterday. So it's, you know, just keep at it. It will happen.
We want it yesterday. And there's no magic bullet. We have to learn. And that's probably the other thing it taught me. Patience. I'm an expect it yesterday kind of person. And this taught me, okay, delayed gratification. Just work through it. Keep working through it. Now I'm learning more and more doctors are prescribing yoga. for the 50 plus woman. I went and checked in with my own doctor that I hadn't seen for ages. She's 70. And she said, could I come and do some yoga with you? I desperately need yoga. Mm-hmm. So we're starting this era of women, we're all starting to realize it is far more therapeutic. It's not an exercise, it's a practice. Yeah. It's far more therapeutic.
Well, you've got me convinced.
Good, go try it, Shelley.
I have done yoga in the past. I can't be certain of poses because it triggers my vertigo. I've had vertigo for like 30 years, so I have to be careful or something. But otherwise, I loved it when I was able to do it. So, Anne, it's been a delight talking with you. It sounds like you've had an extraordinary journey and have really come out the other end quite remarkably well.
And still on a mission, Shelley. I mean, I'm hoping in another 10 years for my 70th birthday that I can still have been of service over that last 10 years and feel like I'm still inspiring women to age well. We're going to live longer. We've got so much more mission ahead of us. Women are going to live well into their 90s, right up to 100.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to be disabled, decrepit. You don't want to be frail into those late years. Frailty is something to fear. So in order to avoid frailty, keep doing this. Don't get frail.
That's one of the things that really kind of scares me is I'm not frail by any sense, but, you know, that is one of the things that I'm going to fall one day and that's going to be that for me. So, hey, Anne, how can our listeners find you?
My website is Anne with an E, A-N-N-E, Noonan, NOONAN.com.au. And I think I have probably all the information you would need on the website.
Okay.
I've got an online roll back your odometer, roll back your body's odometer. We all have an odometer. It's an internal odometer that we would love to roll back.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer that we can roll it back from the inside out. And I've got an online odometer rollback program that you're very welcome to check it out on the website and get in touch if it's something that appeals.
Yeah, and I will, listeners, I will stick all that information down in the show notes. So you'll be
able to
click that link and go give Anne's website a look. So like I do with all my guests, Anne, before we sign off, what is one thing that people listening today can do to start to take action on rolling that odometer back?
Believe. It's your belief. Believe that you can have an amazing second half of life. Unfortunately, I see too often the 50 plus, 60 plus, 70 plus woman going, I'm too old for that now. I could never do that. I can't get up off the floor. It's too late for me. No, I'm just accepting where I am now. It's too late. No. We have to have a belief and faith in ourselves that our body wants to be healthy. It wants to age well into that second half or third act of life. So first off, it starts here. If you have the belief and the deep heart belief that it can be better, no matter where you're at right now, no matter where your health is or where your body mobility is now, we have the ability to be better. So you don't have to lose your mobility, your body strength, your bone density. We can work on all of that as we age. So find the movement that your body loves and just keep believing that it can be better. It's not a downhill slide at all. It's not.
I love that. I absolutely love that. And I agree with everything you say and just believe it, that it can happen and that you deserve that. Well, thank you so much, Anne. You are such a delight. And
thank you.
Really appreciate you getting up at coming on at 6:30 in the morning, your time. I really appreciate that.
On a beautiful Sunday morning.
I really appreciate that. All right.
Thanks, Shelley.
You're very welcome. Thanks, listeners, for tuning in. And until next time, stay awesome.
Just a quick reminder before I let you go, check out our Facebook group, Women Over 50, A Life Redesigned. There are over 600 other fabulous women in that group just like you. I'll place the link to the group into the show notes.